Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I ask you not to call in for the first half hour because we have with us Senator Tom McClintock from the state Senate here in California. Now, you may be living in Michigan, you may be living in Florida, you may be listening in Louisiana and listening to our program, but believe me, what happens in California will impact you because ideas and tragedies and concepts begin here in California, and they usually spread eastward. Within the last few years, California had the sixth largest economy in the entire world. If it were a nation by itself, it would have been the sixth largest economy. Well, Senator Tom McClintock has been a spokesman for fiscal responsibility. He ran in the last gubernatorial election, and if Arnold Schwarzenegger had not had a tremendous name recognition and the total support of the media, Tom McClintock would be our governor, and we'd be a lot better straits than we are. Tom, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Stan. Thanks for having me.
Well, Senator, tell me, what is happening in Sacramento? Now, we're told that Arnold Schwarzenegger is up there. He's doing a great job. And yet, of course, Governor Davis put forward a $100 billion budget, and we, of course, recalled him. Governor Schwarzenegger put forward a $99.1 billion budget, and we say he's doing a great job.
Well, actually, general fund spending, Gray Davis approved a $71 billion general fund budget. That was the obscene, reckless, irresponsible budget that rightly got Gray Davis fired. The administration has just proposed a $79 billion general fund budget, including $3 billion from the bond that was supposed to be used only to pay off past debt.
So basically they have put forward then about, what, $8 billion more?
About 11% increase in general fund spending.
Now, of course, we're not getting this message out across California. And, of course, we're being asked tomorrow to vote for a $15 billion bond so that they don't have to cut spending, and then for another $12 billion for construction of schools. What's your position on these various initiatives?
Well, you cannot borrow your way out of debt. No matter how hard you try, the more you borrow, the deeper in debt you go. People used to understand that. For some reason, there are folks in this state who don't understand that anymore. If this is a spending problem, as the governor said it is, I believe it is, the answer to a spending problem is you reduce spending. You don't borrow more so that you can spend more. This bond solves absolutely nothing. It adds $6.5 billion of interest costs to our problem, and then it dumps it in our children's laps. And what I find so frustrating is a 13.5% reduction in spending, if it was done now, would completely eliminate the deficit by the end of the budget year without tax increases, without borrowing, without all the raids on local government and transportation funds that the administration has proposed. We could start 2005 debt-free with a clean slate, and we would still be spending slightly more, even after adjusting for inflation and population growth, than we were spending as recently as 1997. Now, I know that there are some Republicans who call that a fiscal Armageddon. I don't remember the end of the world occurring in 1997.
Hold that thought right now. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Senator Tom McClintock, who is, of course, the spokesman for the conservative cause in Sacramento. And, of course, we were asking him about the bond issue we're being asked to vote on tomorrow. Of course, a $15 billion state bond, another $12 billion for actually for building repairs on our schools. But I mean, it was just a year ago that we gave them another, what, $4 or $5 billion. Have they spent that money yet?
Oh, more than that. I believe the last bond, school bond, was about $10 to $12 billion.
Have they spent that?
I'm sure they have.
All right, fine.
Well, here's the thing, just to put everything in perspective. You've got $12 billion of principal with Prop 55. You have another $15 billion with Prop 57. By the way, that is the biggest state bond issue ever attempted by any state in American history. Put together, you've got $27 billion of principal, but that's just the beginning of it. The thing about borrowing is, you know, when you borrow from somebody, that somebody usually wants you to pay them back, and they charge interest. In this case, $12 billion of interest for Prop 55, another $6.5 billion for Prop 57. So you put all that together, we've got $27 billion of principal, $45.5 billion of principal and interest combined. Now, just to keep this all in perspective, when George Duke Majan became governor in 1982, he set an absolute maximum cumulative $1 billion lid on the amount of borrowing he would allow on any budget, or pardon me, on any single ballot. $1 billion, total amount of debt that he would allow on any given ballot. We've got $27 billion. On this ballot. That'll show you how completely out of control spending's gotten. Even if you adjust for inflation, the Duke Majan lid would be $1.79 billion of borrowing, would be the absolute cumulative maximum that he would have allowed today.
Well, no,
here we're at $27 billion, $45 billion principal and interest. Every billion we talk about is about $110 of your family's taxes as an average family.
Well, now, of course, we have some new listeners who've joined us, so don't be afraid to repeat some of the things you said before. We are told if we don't pass this these bond issues, certainly Proposition 57 and 58, and I suppose we're supposed to do 55 as well, and then, of course, 56, that's going to allow the legislature to increase our taxes without our consent at all. But we're told there's got to be Armageddon if we don't go along with this. How would you respond to that?
Well, again, remember that this fiscal Armageddon they're talking about is spending slightly more after adjusting for inflation and population growth than we were spending as recently as 1997. In fact,
hold that thought for just a moment. All right, fine. Our guest this afternoon, of course, is Senator Tom McClintock. And you were saying that we're really not spending much more for adjusted for inflation than when?
No, I was saying if we reduce the budget by 13.5%, we can cure the deficit by the end of the budget year without tax increases or borrowing or any of the raids on local governments, and we would still be spending slightly more after you adjust for both inflation and population growth, and we were spending as recently as 1997. In fact, in 1998, when Pete Wilson proposed spending at about the same level, Democratic school superintendent Delaney Easton said she thought she had died and gone to heaven. Bill Lockyer, then the Senate Democratic president pro tem, said it was Wilson's best budget ever. Now, what that means is a budget that's actually spending slightly less than the budget that would be necessary to clear this deficit without tax increases or borrowing. That was Wilson's best budget ever. That was a budget that had the Democratic spenders in these paroxysms of joy, thinking they'd died and gone to heaven. And yet now, a budget that spends slightly more than that is considered by some Republicans to be draconian and a fiscal Armageddon. Go figure.
Well, how are we going to cut 13% from the budget at the present time? That means we're going to have to probably cut back on the universities. We're going to have to cut back on education and some of the welfare programs, aren't we?
Not if you change the way you spend money. For example, the Reason Foundation's report of the state's finances last year identified $9 billion in savings that could be realized across all departments simply by contracting out services, simply by restoring to state government the same freedom every family has to shop around for the best service at the lowest price. Another $6 billion could be saved simply by streamlining the bureaucracies, eliminating those agencies that duplicate local or federal functions or that overlap each other's jurisdictions. We're the only state in the nation that maintains two entirely separate bureaucracies for the purpose of collecting taxes. As just one example, hundreds of millions of dollars in that one area alone. $4 billion a year is what we spend for free services for illegal immigrants. A lot of that could come to a screeching halt with a simple executive order from the governor to every department in the state saying, we expect you to report illegal immigrants to the federal authorities. So there's so much that can be done to save money without affecting vital services, but it's a lot easier simply to borrow it and then dump it all in our children's laps, and that's why you have such broad bipartisan support among the political establishment in Sacramento.
And so basically you're saying that the reason association said $9 billion, another $6 billion streamlining, $4 billion stopped providing services for illegal aliens, that would come to about $19 billion out of
it. Another $2.5 billion more, bring our workers' compensation costs down to the national average. That could be accomplished simply by swapping our workers' comp program for Arizona's. Now, the argument that the administration's supporters use is, well, that's all well and good, but the legislature would never adopt those things, so you're talking pie in the sky. And the answer to them is, you're right, but the legislature doesn't have to make any approvals. If we would simply restore two laws that were on the books for many years that served the state and served the state well, the entire budget crisis could be put behind us in a matter of months. One of them is to restore the GAN spending limit that was in state law from 1979 to 1990. It allowed the state budget to grow as fast as inflation and population growth combined. If we simply restored that measure to where it would have been had it been left alone, it would produce a $67 billion general fund budget this year, which is exactly that 13.5% reduction that would clear the deficit without tax increases or borrowing, and still end up spending slightly more per capita, inflation adjusted, than we spent as recently as 1997. So restore the GAN spending limit. The legislature can argue like cats and dogs within that limit, but they couldn't exceed it. The other thing is to restore the governor's authority to make mid-year spending reductions that he had from 1939 until 1983, so that when spending exceeds revenues, the governor can make reductions on his own without having to return to the legislature. Now, by the way, the governor does have quite a bit of that authority right now, about $2 billion of cuts that he can make without returning to the legislature. That authority has not been used.
Well, you know, one of the things that bothers me is I see these advertisements for the governor, and then one of the leading Democrats, I've forgotten which one it is, and they're both backing certain of the parts of this legislation, I think.
Although they're both backing both of the bonds, both 55 and 57. Again, $27 billion of principal compared to the $1 billion total that George Duke Majian would allow on any individual ballot in 1983. Again, inflation adjusted is about $1.8 billion. So you can see how far it's gotten completely out of control. And again, all that money has to be paid back plus interest.
Well, are you suggesting then that the governor is actually trying to get the bond, this $15 billion bond issue through, so he doesn't have to make the cuts that he should be making that we elected him to make?
Well, let me put it this way. There are three ways to cure a deficit. You can increase taxes in a state that already bears one of the heaviest tax burdens in the nation. You can borrow more money in a state that's already up to its eyeballs in debt. Or you can reduce spending in a state that's already spending at near record levels. Now, I would think that choice would be self-evident. Taxes and borrowing are flip sides of the same coin. They're both done to generate revenues to continue to spend beyond sustainable levels. When you borrow money instantly, you incur liability for interest that in this case, on this single bond alone, is $6.5 billion. So you've just made the problem $6.5 billion worse. But even worse than that, you've just generated $15 billion of principal that then relieves the pressure to make the spending reductions. And ultimately, all of that money and all of that interest is going to have to be repaid, and it can only be repaid in one of two ways, ultimately: tax increases or spending reductions. So when you borrow $15 billion and incur an additional $6.5 billion of interest, as Proposition 57 does, you make it inevitable that there will either have to be bigger tax increases or bigger spending cuts down the road to cover that money. Because one way or another, that money has got to be repaid. We can't print money in state government. It all is real money from your earnings that will have to be repaid from your taxes.
Well, if we don't make the spending reductions this year, what's going to happen next year when that $15 billion, we have $15 billion more in debt, but they're going to have to make the reductions next year, aren't they?
Well, exactly right, or raise taxes next year.
Or try to borrow some more money next year so they don't have to face the inevitable.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're putting off the hard decisions. You can always find a broad bipartisan majority in Sacramento to do that. But it is the wrong thing to do. It makes our problems more difficult in future years. They're not thinking that far ahead, but it's going to be incumbent upon California citizens to do that thinking for them. Everybody knows you cannot borrow your way out of debt. The first rule of holes is, when you're in one, stop digging.
Well, one of the things that we see, a tremendous amount of money being put forward on Proposition 56, saying, let's get this situation out of the hands of special interests, and then they got a list of all the people supporting it, all the special interest people who are pushing Proposition 56 as if somehow this is going to be a way of getting back at that irresponsible legislature.
Well, Proposition 56, at its core, is a very, very simple measure. Right now, it requires a two-thirds vote for the legislature to pass a tax increase. If Prop 56 is adopted, it will only take a 55% vote. The net result of Prop 56 is a lot more taxes will be going to the governor's desk for signature. It is that simple. That is its purpose. Everything else is window dressing.
Well, now, what about Prop 13? Will it undo the limitations as far as our property taxes?
No, it won't undo the Prop 13 property tax protections. But don't forget, an important part of Prop 13 was the two-thirds vote to raise taxes by the state legislature. That is what Prop 56 decimates. And again, the net result, a lot of additional tax increases will be going to the governor's desk for signature.
All right, fine. So it's going to be a very, very expensive thing if the people of California are foolish enough to be taken in by this tremendous propaganda campaign.
And by the way, you put the two together, and then you've got a very dangerous combination. You've got now the necessity to pay back $15 billion of principal and $6.5 billion of interest, and you now have the power to raise taxes by 55% vote of the legislature. Watch out.
All right, fine. Now, we are going to have a very important vote on tomorrow for the Republican candidate for the United States Senate. Whoever wins that will go up against Barbara Boxer. Who are you backing for the Republican candidate for Senate?
Howard Kalugi, and I am strongly backing Howard. I have worked with him over many, many years. He was one of the top leaders of the recall movement against Gray Davis. He will be able to show a stark contrast between the left-wing policies of Barbara Boxer and the conservative policies that produced the biggest economic expansion in this nation's history under Ronald Reagan. He's the one guy who can win. The front runner is Bill Jones. I've served with Bill. He's a wonderful guy. He truly is. But he's one of those guys who just loves to be loved. And as a result, he has never learned how to pronounce the word no. And it was that that difficulty that brought him to cast the decisive vote for the biggest tax increase in the history of this or any state in the nation. He cast the decisive vote for the 1991 tax increases. If you remember them, they broke the back of the economy. They turned a recession into a near depression. They needlessly prolonged our budget problems years into the future. I don't want that kind of judgment going to Washington, D.C. We already have that kind of judgment with Barbara Boxer. We need to replace it with somebody like Howard Kalugian, who actually has a backbone.
And of course, the unfortunate thing is the liberal Republicans really want a liberal Republican running against a liberal Democrat.
No, well, actually, my experience with liberal Republicans is they would prefer a Democrat to a Republican.
Right.
Unless it's they would prefer a Democrat to a conservative Republican. And That's what's costing us a number of elections, because they control the party apparatus. It's the country club wing of the Republican Party.
Amen to that. We'll be back in just a moment with Senator Tom McClintock, and he'll be with us for about 10 more minutes.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me tell you about some of the other items we carry. Certainly we carry the big Berkey water filter, and this has been a standard with missionaries for 150 years. These are made out of stainless steel, and you put a couple of gallons in the top, and it goes to the ceramic filters that are packed with activated carbon, and it comes out the bottom. And, of course, it filters out most of the pesticides and herbicides and chlorine and bacteria and all those bad things, so that you can actually drink water out of ponds and rivers and lakes. And of course, this is a $239.95 plus shipping. It's available in every state in the union except California and Iowa. Don't ask me why it's not available in California. It just isn't available here. But we do have something called the Berkey Light, and this is exactly the same design, only it's made out of Lexan, which is what you make bulletproof glass out of. And so you can see the water level, which is an advantage, and that's why we have a Berkey Light water filter. And then, of course, the filters themselves are quite different. We call them the Black Berkey filters. There's 2 of them instead of 4. They're much bigger. And, of course, they do a much better job. They will actually remove all the detectable bacteria and the MTBE and chlorine, and they'll take out almost all the pesticides and herbicides and all those bad things. We call them water purifiers. They do a tremendous job. The only trouble is they have to be replaced every couple of years if you're going to give them regular use. If only maybe one person's using the filter, they'll last longer than the 2 years. Both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light, of course, you can put post filters on to filter out the fluoride, which you don't want your children drinking. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and order either a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light water filter. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess this afternoon for the next 4 minutes will be Senator Tom McClintock. And, of course, he's doing an awful lot of interviews between now and the elections tomorrow. I think trying to get out the word and trying to bring some logic to all of this. What we're going to do is just spend ourselves into oblivion. And if we don't make the cuts now, what's going to happen next year? We either have to borrow more money, we have to make the cuts then. Why is it that, of course, the governor doesn't want to make the cuts that are going to be necessary to bring about a resolution of the problem?
Well, Stan, I don't know. I don't read minds. I'm not very good at it.
Okay.
But it is very clear that spending has not been brought under control and that the borrowing is being employed in order to continue to generate revenues beyond a sustainable level of spending. And ultimately, all of that will have to be paid back plus interest, which means either bigger tax increases or bigger spending cuts down the road.
And at the very beginning of the program, and some of our listeners would not have heard that, you had mentioned that Governor Davis had put in a budget of about $71 billion, and that, of course, I don't understand the various types of budgets, but that was, what was that, discretionary spending?
Well, the main budget is the general fund. Then
okay.
You have a number of special funds, like the highway account, for example, license funds, things of that nature. But the general operating account of the state of California is the general fund. Gray Davis signed a budget this past year approving $71 billion of expenditures. This administration has just submitted a proposal to spend $79 billion from the general fund next year, including $3 billion from this bond measure that is, they're telling people, is only going to be used to consolidate past debt. It's not true. $3 billion of that bond is going into next year's budget, and they're holding another $3 billion for future spending on top of that.
So basically, we're sort of check-tiding and hoping that the account isn't going to come due too soon.
That's it. We're borrowing to get out of debt, and that is a financial impossibility.
Well, you know, what do you think? Do you have any ideas what's going to happen? I heard that, you know, as of about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that the majority of people were not going to vote for 57. And then, of course, we've heard in the last few days that recent polls suggest that it's almost 50% of the people now are willing to try to borrow our way out of debt.
Well, don't forget, it's been a very one-sided campaign. They have spent well over $10 million of propaganda. The opposition has spent exactly nothing. Now, the question occurs, where did they raise all that money? Well, a lot of it's being raised from New York investment interests. Now, you might ask yourself, what do New York investors care about a ballot measure in California? And the answer is $6.5 billion of interest, hundreds of millions of dollars of brokerage fees. Wall Street is going to make out like bandits from Proposition 57. They have an enormous incentive to spend lavishly to assure that it passes. Meanwhile, they're not going to be paying a dime of the more than $2,000 that every California family will have to pay in taxes to retire this debt.
Now, of course, what happens if 55 passes? That's the $12 billion state. How much interest are we going to have to pay for that state bond for rebuilding the schools?
$12 billion of principal, another $12 billion of interest over 30 years. So, as I said, between the two bonds, $27 billion of principal, $18.5 billion of interest, $45.5 billion of principal and interest combined.
Well, I can certainly see why the people in Wall Street would just love to have that. They're going to come out making like bandits, isn't it?
Well, $18.5 billion of interest, and again, hundreds of millions of dollars. Between the two of them, well over $1 billion in brokerage fees.
Well, we're just about out of time. Our guest has been...
And by the way, you're paying all of that as a taxpayer, all of it.
Well, I think that what's going to happen is we may very well see an awful lot of people, in the upper income brackets begin moving into Nevada or elsewhere, because you're not going to be able to pay off this debt on the backs of the upper income people. This is going to have to hit the middle class.
Well, that's one of the dirty little secrets of taxation, and that is that... Arthur Laffer once said the most portable thing in this world is money and rich people. Money and rich people are able to flee high tax states. They're fleeing California, and the result is the taxes that produce billions of dollars are all placed on the middle class, because that's where collectively the money is.
All right, we're just about out of time. I know we've got to let you go. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
You can't borrow your way out of debt, and this bond solves nothing. You're adding $6.5 billion of interest to our problem and then dumping it in our kids' laps. It'll be the first time in the history of California that one generation has passed on its day-to-day expenses to the next.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Tom. I'll talk to you later.
Stan, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having
Bye-bye.
Me.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Senator Tom McClintock, who is the voice of conservatism up in Sacramento. Would certainly be a lot better off if he had been elected governor. The people would have voted for him, except the media was all behind Arnold Schwarzenegger. the Terminator. And he may very well be terminating California. We'll be back here, open lines, right after the break.
Understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Inroad to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention some of the other items we carry. As you know, we carry Phonopoly sets. Phonopoly is a wonderful game. It's actually played just like Monopoly, or very similar to Monopoly, except that in the process you learn how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Now, it's designed for your children and your grandchildren, but I'll tell you, an awful lot of adults have played the game and really benefited from it. And so we would recommend this to you. Actually, it's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books going at how they have deliberately dumbed down your children, and perhaps you were even a victim of this same type of reading program. Most of these programs, $500-$800. This one's $139.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for a Phonopoly set. That's Phonopoly. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we mentioned we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims, but I will tell you that a lot of the people who use Miracle 2 products say they do miraculous things for them, and people will tell us how it's helped their rashes and how it's helped their acne and how it's helped their digestive system, and we know that a lot of people who are farmers seem to use this. They seem to think it helps them, and other people use it in shops. All we can do is suggest you try it. There's a soap and a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and a neutralizing solution. I will tell you, after having used these in our family, I guess, couple of years now, we wouldn't be without them. I use the moisturizing soap on a daily basis when I shower because it helps a rash I had. And all you can do is try it. We can't tell you it's going to help your rash, but we can tell you that an awful lot of people love Miracle 2 soap products. Give us a call if you'd like an introductory offer at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we had to let Senator McClintock go because he's on programs all across the state, sort of like a one-man effort, like Paul Revere out there saying, don't you know that the Redcoats are coming? Well, don't you know that they're going to sell the state into oblivion? They're going to borrow and borrow and borrow, and Arnold Schwarzenegger has come up with a budget that's $8 billion for next year, larger than Gray Davis's. He's not trying to solve the problem at all. He's trying to make your children and your grandchildren pay for the fact that he doesn't have the courage to make the cuts that are necessary. And you've already heard what Senator McClintock said. I mean, there are so many things. We could save almost $20 billion, and he doesn't have the courage to do it, but he wants to run for president. He thinks we ought to amend the Constitution so that people who are born in foreign countries can run for president. And you know there's a tremendous force behind Lionel when you see that George Shultz of the Council on Foreign Relations is backing him, along with Warren Buffett, a Democrat, one of the richest men in the world. You don't get to be that rich unless, of course, you got connections. Connections very, very highly placed, working behind the scenes. Well, let's go to Bart calling from Carmel. And if you're out there and you have something you'd like to talk about, it's open lines here. So our number is 1 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'd love to talk to you. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Thank you. And thank you and Senator McClintock for fighting this battle for us. In my perception, there is a wicked black shadow hanging over this state and the nation. And as you were discussing the financial future of California with Senator McClintock, the image that came to my mind was that of a death row inmate, because as you know, your last meal, you can have anything your heart desires. Anything you want, you can have. Sir, the financial management of the state of California is similar to the financial management of our entire federal government, in the sense that it is basically insane, and the numbers don't even begin to add up. A five-year-old can see that. And so Dr. Stan, my question for you is, it almost seems as though they know something we don't. Do you have any feeling about that?
Well, if you look at what's going on from a logical point of view, it is totally illogical. So how do you do away with massive debts? Well, there are several ways you can pay them off, but of course there's not enough money in the world, especially with our federal debt, to pay that off. And we're not going to be able to pay off our state debts either. It would be one thing if the economy was going to come around and we were going to start booming here in another year or so, and then there'd be enough money coming in to pay off the debts. Though I rather think that they know exactly what's happening. If you've been watching what's happening to the dollar, it's been decreasing in value. It's dropped about somewhere between 30% and 40% in the last couple of years. Now, one way to pay off debt is simply to make it disappear. The latest meeting of the G7, and of course Joan Fionn was there, the finance ministers of the rest of the world said, we're going to let the dollar continue to drop. If the dollar drops to, about another, 40 or 50%, why, they'll have done away with the debt. And so, yeah, we'll pay the debt back, but in dollars that aren't worth anything. And this is one way to get rid of the debt. I think they know exactly where our economy is going. I think they know exactly where the dollar is going. That's the beauty of having a fiat money system that's not related to anything. You can manipulate it, and of course you can pay back the debtors, with money that is of no value at all. On the other hand, if you control the monetary system and somebody owes you money, you take their house, you take their farm, you take their car. It's a great system. This is where you have the transfer from weak hands to strong hands. And I think that that's coming here in the next year or two.
Dr. Stan, one last comment, I'll get off. One thing that worries me mightily is the federal militarization of our police forces into these powerful, muscular organizations that seem to be prepared to stomp down on our population at any time, and it is as though they're preparing for large-scale control of the population.
Well, they are planning on civil unrest, and they know very well when the citizens finally wake up and realize they have intentionally sent our industries overseas. They've intentionally sent our jobs and our wealth overseas, and they've destroyed the value of our currency. You're going to see the people out in the streets exactly as they were in Argentina a couple of years ago when the government devalued the currency by 75% and stole the savings of the entire middle class and actually impoverished the middle class. They know what's going to happen. That's what all this is about, and that's why FEMA is setting up detention camps in case of civil unrest. They know the civil unrest is coming, and my plea is don't get involved in civil unrest. Help us educate the people, because when enough people understand what this is all about, why, the people on the other side, the dark force, is going to flee like a vampire at the first rays of dawn. But our job, of course, is to educate, not to encourage people to be out in the streets, but to realize full well that this is what they're planning. They know exactly what's going to happen. They just don't want us to know.
It sometimes seemed to me, Dr. Stan, that the whole thing is just so orchestrated that it makes my skin crawl. And I'll get off the phone. Thank you, sir.
Well, I think you're entirely correct. I think this whole thing is following a script. And I think that script, of course, is written by very dark and devious forces. Let's go to Nathan calling from Contra Costa. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Hi, Nathan. How are you doing?
Hi. Well, I'd like to piggyback on the previous call.
All right.
It's and actually something you said. You know, I'd like to... I I think that the control is becoming more and more blatant. You know, I'd like the idea that we could have a sort of anti-Skull and Bones or anti-control party. The problem is, you know, we just had what may very well have been a controlled, orchestrated coup where possibly the president of the elected president of another country was let out in handcuffs. If his story is true, we may have, as the previous gentleman said, a naked police state emerging. And, you know, if it does, the question is, what do we do?
I'll tell you what, I really don't know. You're talking about Aristide and Haiti. Is this what you're speaking of?
Well, we're getting conflicting reports over it.
All right, fine. We'll have a program on at 9 o'clock tonight.
Let's just say in general, then, what do we do if a naked police state emerges?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think if a naked police state emerges, it will emerge because the American people don't care. If enough people care, they're not going to be able to do this to us. We have to educate the people.
Can we wake people up and get people to see that there is not only a police state in the obvious sense, but also an occultic control system?
Well, I think that what we have to do is educate them. That's all we can do. Our job is education. A duty is ours, the results of the Lord's, Nathan. You have to understand that you and I are not going to solve this problem alone. Our job, our assignment is to do our best, realizing that we have to rely upon the Lord for the outcome. Okay?
Well, it just seems to me that I see a population that refuses to wake up. It refuses to follow divine law and stop sinning. It wants to have more and more of what's happened, all the Oscars and all the nonsense and all the violence and the pornography you know, ultimately it is going to get what it asks for. I mean, God used Babylon and Persia.
Let me tell you why I am optimistic. First of all, the exit polls from the gubernatorial election, you know, they poll them and say, who did you vote for? And the majority at 56% voted for Schwarzenegger. Then they ask them, who would you like to have voted for if you've really had your druthers? And about 56% said Tom McClintock. We are the majority. We are the conservative majority. The CNN USA Today poll asked people across America how they felt about Judge Roy Moore and his Ten Commandments monument. And with all the control of the media and with the fact that the conservative and the liberal media attacked Judge Roy Moore, 77% of the people identified with him, with Judge Roy Moore, and they felt the courts were wrong.
Can 77% of the people name the Ten Commandments, much less follow them as far as adultery and all the rest of it?
Well, maybe they ought to start learning them. But the thing is that they felt that Judge Roy Moore was right and the rest was wrong. So the real thing is that we got a lot more good people in this country than you give them credit for.
Well, Roy Moore was right. I'm just saying we have real problems and people don't want to see it.
All right, fine. Well, our job is to help them, and your job is to help us wake them up, okay?
Thank you.
And get them listening to our shortwave program in the evening. Let's go to John. Is this John from
Syracuse, New York?
Right. Go ahead, John.
I got a chance to call Mr. McClintock's office after I listened to you on the radio, Dr.
Right. Uh-huh.
Recently in the newspaper, there was a brilliant article written by somebody on the financial page. It was picked up by all the newspapers. I wanted to know if you read it, about how much stock in the Walt Disney Corporation, the public pension fund of California, New York, Ohio, New Jersey has in the stock market.
I haven't done the slightest idea.
I have the numbers right here for you because I saved the article.
All right, fine.
Walt Disney only. Now, this is just one stock out of hundreds, okay? In the state of California, the amount of shares of Disney owned by the general pension fund is 9.9 million shares. By the retirement teacher system of California, 7.9 million shares. By the state of New York's common fund, 8.7 million shares. By the teachers fund, 8.6 million shares.
Okay, what's the point?
Now, that's in Disney. My point is the taxpayers of California and New York, no matter who they were, Dr. Stan, no matter who they are, if they've never been in the stock market in their whole life, are in the market, because the majority of the money that is in there is all 50 states of the United States own the stock markets in this country, own them. McClintock can go to the state pension fund and the teachers pension fund and borrow the money to get California out of debt and revert that back to the pension fund. And he agrees with me, but he said that your legislature would never do that because this thing has money in the trillions of dollars in both funds.
Well, I'll
tell you. They own 66% of all stock in the New York Stock Exchange is owned by the public through the 50 states of the United States Pension Fund.
All right,
that
John,
Dr. Stan, the government controls the corporations. They are twisting Michael Eisner's arm right now.
All right, fine. Thanks very much. And let's go to Marilyn. Let me just comment on what John is saying. It has been suggested that if when things really get tough at the national level, they're just going to seize these pension funds and use that and give them IOUs guaranteed by the full integrity of our federal government. And this has actually been suggested that this is what they're going to do down the line when we, of course, face these massive debts for Social Security and Medicare, and the government doesn't have any money, but there is a source of money. That's your pension funds. Marilyn, did you have a question?
Well, I have a comment. I heard another talk program today where a man was so discouraged, he says, I'm just not going to vote. The issue, I think, was that they overturned our vote here in California, or at least the San Francisco mayor has overturned the vote of the people of California. Now, but, you know, that's the worst thing you can do. Don't you know, all the homosexuals and all the communists and all the far leftists are all voting. The worst thing you can do is not vote. That's the easiest thing to do, the cheapest thing. If you don't vote, then, you know, it won't do you any good to do anything else.
All right, fine. And I agree with you totally, Marilyn. I've already voted. Have you voted? Are you going to vote tomorrow?
Oh, no, I voted already. I voted absentee.
All right, fine. Well, I hope you voted right on all the issues.
I voted no on every bond measure in California. And I voted for Mr. Kaloogian.
All right, fine. Thank you so very much, Marilyn. Anything else you wanted to say?
Well, just tell the conservatives that they're really being nothing but stupid not to vote. It doesn't matter if you vote for whatever you do. There's always an issue. You don't even have to vote for one of the two parties. You can, that is, in the general, you can always vote for another party, someone who represents your principles.
And I agree with you totally. And I think that these bond issues are so important. And Proposition 56 is so important because it does away with part of Proposition 13 that you needed a two-thirds vote to actually, increase taxes at the state level. And if you look at this the ads for Proposition 56, and it shows them throwing food at one another, and here's a way of getting back at that nasty legislature, this is exactly what the legislature wants. They say, take this out of hands of special interests, and then look at the list of all the special interests, the California Teachers Association, the Prison Guards Association. Everybody who's getting money from the state wants Proposition 56 passed. Why? So they can get more money so that they can take it out of our hides. And of course, the last thing we want to do is do away with the requirement for a two-thirds majority to raise taxes. And I think that, of course, these bond issues are fiscally irresponsible. And when the governor is backing the Prop 55 and the $12 billion, which is going to cost us $24 billion with interest over 30 years. And he said this is fiscally responsible. And the Democrat state controller says it's a great idea. And Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Democrats are both pushing it. I think maybe we better ask, is Arnold Schwarzenegger a Republican or a Democrat? I think we're in real trouble. And our job, of course, Marilyn, is to educate the people of this state and make them realize that, for many of the people who profess to be Republicans, they're really liberal Republicans, and they might just as well be Democrats. In fact, I wish they'd be honest and call themselves Democrats, and then we'd know what this is all about instead of saying they're Republicans and then selling out every principle that you and I hold true and believe Republicans should back.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, but the main thing I say to your listeners is vote. If you have an absentee ballot and you didn't get it in the mail, take it by the nearest polling place and drop it in, or you can have a relative. After you mark it, you need to mark it with a dark or a black pen and not necessarily a pencil, and it's very simple to figure out how to do it. Just circle the number that you want on the ballot. Circle the number that you want to black out, and then be sure to count and be sure you've got the right number blacked out. But take it to a polling place or have a relative, it says, and be sure to sign the envelope.
Amen to that. Thank you so very much, Marilyn. And I agree with you. It's so important that people do vote. Yes, sometimes I get very frustrated. But I think that certainly at this state election is so vitally, vitally important. Why? Why? Because, of course, here's where we're going to select our Republican nominee for the United States Senate to run against Barbara Boxer. And I sure hope that it is not Bill Jones, because he's a man who's compromised his principles too many times. So I hope that it will be, Senator McClintock is backing Howard Kaloogian, and I've known Howard for a long time. He's an honest man. Then the state ballot issues, they are so vitally important. And then simply vote against the incumbent in most positions here in the state, and the state legislature, because most of them are rotten to the core.
Well, thanks, Dr. Stan. Thanks for all you're doing, and the least we can do is vote.
Amen to that. Can I second that for you?
Well, you have a good audience there, and there will be people in other states, and they need to vote. Anyway, I hear your music, so we'll talk again.
Bye-bye, and God bless you. And that was Marilyn calling from Sacramento, and she's one of our good supporters up there, as we have many across the state. We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that the Institute of the Constitution allows you to put on programs to teach people one of the most carefully kept secrets in this country. And that is that this country was founded by Christians on Christian principles. Our laws were based upon the Bible. And for 150 years, everybody in this country knew America was a Christian nation. Everybody in the world knew America was a Christian nation. And, of course, this is based upon a series of 12 lectures. You'll hear from Dr. John Eidsmo, who is a professor of constitutional law. They're half-hour programs. They're laid out, and you can put them on a weekend, or you can put them on for 12 successive evenings. And, of course, then, of course, there's a kit, and it tells you what questions to ask and the answers to those questions, how to put together an institute on the Constitution. Now, these are being set up all across America, and we're going to have one here in this area very, very soon. One of the churches I'm hoping will put this on. The Institute of the Constitution, you can reach them by calling them at 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. And to find out about getting the kit, you can go to their website at iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com, and learn about the Institute of the Constitution, how to set one up. It's really very simple. And of course, once you have a hall, once you've got some people coming, and if it's in this area, why, we'll be glad to announce it to hopefully getting people out. Or if it's in another area, we'll be glad to put an announcement or two out to try to get people to these Institute on the Constitution meetings. And then, of course, they tell you what questions to ask, and then they tell you the answer to the questions. And so it'll appear that you know all of these things, but the important thing, the American people have to know that we once were a Christian nation, and we've lost that. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I have to remind people out across America that Radio Liberty is listener support it primarily. And, of course, we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month, you'll get our four best tapes, you'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us as we reach out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Now, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter or more information on joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours every day. We are on the shortwave 4 hours a day. And, of course, if you're listening to us now on shortwave, 3 hours from now, we'll be back again. Then with our evening program, if you need to get a shortwave and you don't have one, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have what we think is a very attractive one. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will tell others about our Internet programs 5 hours a day, about our shortwave programs 4 hours a day. Then, of course, there is so much information we have, you're not going to get it elsewhere. If you're Catholic, you certainly would want to get the four-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. If you're a Protestant, you'll want to get the video Megiddo, telling you about the church growth movement that's sweeping the Catholic, sweeping the Protestant church. Our four-tape set, The Church Growth Movement. You need to have this information. You need to warn others that they're playing games with their minds. This is a planned program. It is a transformational program aimed at transforming the individual, transforming the church, transforming society, transforming the world. That's what it's all about. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the average individual in a church growth, purpose-driven church to understand that this is all laid out. This is why you need to get our material, and you need to speak out if this is coming into your church, because it will certainly change the people's concept of God. And with this, of course, is the music. You need to get our four tapes out on musical madness. You need to understand how important the music is as far as it affects your very soul, and that's what it's all about. I did a wonderful interview with Dr. Carson Holloway, who is a professor of political science, and of course he's written a wonderful book called All Shook Up, going into the history of music and how it has been used to transform society. And don't you let anybody tell you that God created all music. I think some music that we're playing on the church today came right out of the pit of hell. Remember the video Diaprax in the Church? Remember the new video that we have, the Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. If you haven't seen my video on the Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get that. You need to get the book. You need to understand the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. You need to see my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and get the syllabus that goes with that, because it will document the fact that all of the wars of this last century were totally contrived, including the current war in Iraq, which was planned long before the September 11th attack and had nothing to do with Saddam Hussein. It had everything to do with a permanent American presence in the Middle East. And that's what they say. We'll give you the quotations from the Project for the New American Century and who belongs to that. Well, back in the year 2000, the project put out a report. Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, John Bolton, Paul Wolfowitz, 25 people put together this organization, and their goal was, of course, to take over our administration, to take over our foreign policy, and, of course, to get us involved in a war in the Middle East. You'll find all the documentation right there in my video and my syllabus, Iraq, the Untold Story. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. So until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.